Psalm 51 in verse 13, David says, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." We ended last time saying that Jesus Christ Himself, our Lord and Savior, said that I am the way, not a way among many, but the one and only way to God, and how Christianity was called the way, the only true religion that is of God. Now, David is saying, I will teach transgressors thy ways. And we also know from Mark chapter 12 and verse 14 that even the enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Pharisees and the Herodians, they acknowledged that the greater David, the son of David, taught transgressors God's ways. It says, "And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true, and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth." And then they ask him a question. "Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not?" And he answered with the truth. But Jesus Christ Himself taught the way of God in truth, as David said He would do, and as we need to do. And we were saying last time also that we must not teach the superstitions, doctrines, and commands of men. We have to beware of substituting our own erroneous ways for God's holy and true ways. Now, there are three main errors that men teach to be the ways of God, which are not. The first one is that all religions are equally good and ultimately lead to God in heaven. This is very contrary to the Scriptures and to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And then he says this, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." False prophets guide people not into the true way, the way of peace, but into the broad way, the way of destruction. Now, the second main error is that we are able to make ourselves righteous before God by our own good works. And this, again, is very contrary to the Scriptures. Romans chapter 9 says this is the great error, the great rock upon which men dash their souls and perish eternally. Romans 9, verse 30. "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." They stumbled at the great stumbling stone, which was what? They sought righteousness by the works of the law. Now, the third great error that men teach is that we cannot live a life of sin and then turn to God and be forgiven and saved. If you're a bad person, you go to hell. If you're a good person, you go to heaven. Now, many people, David said he would teach God's ways. And many people take a wrong lesson from David's life. They think, well, David sinned and he was saved and went to heaven, so we can sin too. In other words, they use David's example, his bad example, his fall, as an excuse to sin and think that they can be all right in the end. But that's the exact opposite of what it's meant to teach. It's meant to teach that we need to avoid falling as David did so we can avoid the broken bones and all the suffering he endured to come back to God and be restored to Him. But we're going to look at that more. The first thing we want to say is that there are three main ways of God that we are to teach transgressors. And the first one is this, that God from eternity chooses whom He will save. We do not choose God. God chooses us. And to see that, I want to go back to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Moses, the man of God, prayed that God would show to him His way. I want to start at verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people. And thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Lord, I want to know what you're truly like, so show me your way. God responds, verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And so we find God's glory in learning His way. And we are told elsewhere that God did answer this prayer of Moses in Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Beginning at verse 7. Speaking of the Lord, it says, He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. Now, what did Moses learn about God when God made known His ways to him? This, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. God shows mercy upon whom He will. He's a merciful God, sovereign mercy. And that mercy brings us the full and eternal pardon of our sins. So God answered Moses when Moses said, show me thy way. God declared His sovereignty in choosing whom He would show mercy upon. Exodus chapter 33 again, and verse 19. When Moses said, show me thy glory, he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now what was God saying there? What was He pointing out about Himself? The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 9 that this refers to God's eternal election unto salvation. Romans chapter 9. I want to start at verse 13. He quotes, first of all, Malachi, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Well, wait, God loved one brother, hated the other? Is this fair? Is this right? What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. That's an impossibility. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. What's he saying there? Well, there is no unrighteousness in God. And part of his righteousness, part of his goodness, part of his glory is this. He shows mercy on whom he will. As he chooses, as he sees fit. That is his righteousness. So then, the conclusion is, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Oh, okay. Pharaoh was an example of a reprobate, one on whom God saw fit to show forth his wrath and judgment. What do we understand from this? Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? We are God's creatures. He made us from the dust, and he can do with us as he pleases. Men teach that God gave us a free will and we choose our own eternal destiny. That's not God's way. God says, we do not choose him, but he chose us before the world began. Jesus said it very plainly. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And Paul also said, according as he hath chosen us in Christ, when? Before the foundation of the world, before we made any choice whatsoever. Now the second thing that is a way of God that we are to teach transgressors is that we are forgiven all our sins and accepted by God as righteous, not by our own works and sufferings, but by the righteousness of Christ, which is his obedience unto death, and which is freely imputed to us by the grace of God. Let's look at Exodus again, this time chapter 34. When Moses said, show me thy ways, show me thy glory, God said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And his name is a revelation of who he is, his character. And in chapter 34, verse 5, God did it. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And of course, after God revealed himself, Moses responded appropriately by worshiping. Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And then he called on the Lord based on this revelation of God's character and asked for something. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. God does not clear the guilty. They cannot do anything to clear themselves. But he does forgive iniquity, transgression, and sin in his mercy. And what does Moses say? Lord, we are a righteous people. We are obeying your law, so accept us and be with us. No, he says, Lord, we are a stiff-necked people. Pardon our iniquity and sin. And take us for your inheritance. How? If I have found grace in your sight. As an act of grace freely given to those who don't deserve it. And so, we are forgiven all our sins, accepted by God as righteous, not by our own works and sufferings, but by the righteousness of Christ. His obedience unto death, freely imputed to us by the grace of God. Let's look at a few verses that teach that. In Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 20. Through 22. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law has precepts to obey, and we cannot obey it. It has a sanction or a punishment for those who disobey, and we cannot satisfy that penal sanction by our sufferings. And so no one can be justified in God's sight by the deeds of the law. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Right? There's a righteousness that comes from God that He gives to us that has nothing to do with our keeping the law. One which is witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. This righteousness comes upon all who believe in Christ. It's ours by faith in Him. Verse 24, it's given to us through His sufferings on the cross, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Let's go over now to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. I want to read verses 10 through 12 and 21 to 24. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The law requires of us personal, perpetual, perfect obedience. Even the least violation of the law brings upon us its curse, its malediction, its condemnation unto eternal damnation. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The Bible teaches we can't be righteous by our works, by our keeping the law. It comes to us by faith in Christ. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. It comes through Christ's sacrifice. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Now go down with me to verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. In other words, we're all under the power and condemnation and guilt of sin, and helpless to free ourselves from it. Why? That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. This was Paul's great plea and rejoicing in Philippians chapter 3. He originally, when he was a Pharisee, sought to be justified by the works of the law. But when he was brought to his knees by Jesus Christ and confronted with his true condition as a sinner and his lost estate and his need for Christ, everything changed in his life. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. That's not what he wanted to be found in when he stood before God for judgment. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So men teach that we make ourselves righteous by our own good works of keeping the law and of suffering for our wrongs. But God says that we are righteous by faith in Christ alone. Two more places. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We're justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. Matter of fact, verse 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Either our righteousness is by the sufferings of Christ on the cross or our own works. And if it's by our own works, Christ died for nothing. But it is not by works. It is by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Beginning at verse 3. No, I'm sorry, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. It's with our heart that a man believes unto righteousness, believes in Christ crucified, buried, and risen again, which is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. And so, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No peace in our own works. Right now, the main point that David is getting to in Psalm 51 that he learned in his own experience and that he would teach others, this is the third main way of God that we're to teach transgressors, is that God freely pardons and receives and saves guilty sinners when they acknowledge and confess their sins with sorrow and turn to God in true repentance. The only thing God requires of us is a sincere turning from sin to God in faith in Christ's sacrifice in order to our being right with Him. And men think, no, that can't be it. That's too easy. There must be more to it than that. We can't just go to God and say we're sorry and believe in Christ and be forgiven and everything wiped clean, a new slate, start all over, and God accept us and treat us as if we were perfectly righteous just because we confess our sins and believe on His Son. Well, that is exactly what the Bible teaches. And that's the great difficulty men have. Men like to do whatever they can for their own salvation and earn it and get the glory and credit of it. And God says, no, He will not allow that. That is not His way. Ezekiel chapter 18, I want to show how people have a great difficulty with this whole idea. One reason they have a difficulty is there are a lot of people that abuse this and say, well, I'll just sin, and then when I'm about to die, I'll say I'm sorry, and everything will be well. No, that's why we say we have to turn from sin to God in true repentance and faith in Christ's sacrifice. Ezekiel 18, verse 19. Yet say ye why? You know, people question how God works. Doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes and done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord, and not that he should return from his ways and live? So in other words, he's saying the way to escape death for sin and to have life and righteousness is turning from our wicked ways to God. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. And of course people think, well, if your good works outweigh your bad works, you'll come out all right in the end. And the whole idea is, you know, if you're a good person, God will accept you. And he's saying, no, you may try to live a good moral life, but if you have sin in your life, in that sin you'll die. Yet ye say, notice the reaction to this, the way of the Lord is not equal. That's not right. That's not fair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die. See, they trust in their own righteousness. They don't come to Christ. And so their sins cause them to perish, no matter how many good works they may think they do. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die. So if you live a life of sin and turn to Christ in repentance and faith and then live a new life of obedience, all your sins are forgotten by God and you are saved and have eternal life. Yet, saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? In other words, they were judging God as if he was being unrighteous. And yet they were the ones who had an unrighteous viewpoint. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. In other words, don't sit there and pass judgment on me. You need to pass judgment on yourself as a sinner and turn from those sins to me. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. In other words, turn or burn. Turn and live. Ezekiel chapter 33, we have the same basic subject being spoken to by God, showing the people how wrong their ideas are and how right his ways are. Ezekiel 33, beginning at verse 10. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? How can we live if we're sinners? How can we be saved from our sins? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. That's how a sinner may live, by repentance. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. There's no amount of good works can compensate or atone for our sins. And no amount of sin can condemn us and damn us if we turn to God and are saved from those sins by faith in Christ. When I say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. What's the sin there? Trusting in his own righteousness, in his own works for salvation. Again, when I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walked in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall live. He shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. He's done that which God requires. He's turned from his sins. He's put his faith in the Lord. And his sins are blotted out, never to be mentioned again, never to be remembered anymore forever. Yet, though this is God's righteous and only way, yet the children of thy people say, The way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, The way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you, every one, after his ways. And so men's ways are what are unequal, and when they're judged according to their own ways, they will find that to be the case. And when he says here, If the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. We are saved by repentance and faith, and the evidence that our repentance is sincere and our faith is genuine is that we have a changed life. As it says, He that is born of God sinneth not. Now, men teach that if we live a good life, we will be saved, but that if a person is a wicked sinner, he cannot just repent and expect to be saved. And yet God says just the opposite. Jeremiah chapter 3, we'll look at a couple more places and then we'll close. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1. They say, here's what men say, If a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet, return again to me, saith the Lord. Even though this is true of men in their dealings with one another, it is not true of my dealings with men. I will receive them back to myself. Let's look at verse 12. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Well, how can we receive God's mercy and pardon and escape His wrath and judgment? Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Only acknowledge your sin, and turn to me, and I will have mercy upon you. Hosea chapter 14. Hosea in chapter 14, God says much the same. In verses 1 to 4. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Thy sin brings us down, returning to God brings us back up. How do we do that? He says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. In other words, acknowledge your sin and confess it to God and repent of it and ask for His pardon. Asher shall not save us. In other words, give up on your own carnal confidences and your own works. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. Cast yourself on the free mercy of God in Jesus Christ. Then what happens? God says this, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from Him. That's God's response to our repentance, our coming to Him in sorrow for sin, asking for mercy and pardon through Christ. As He says in the New Testament, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the way of God in saving sinners and restoring backsliders is far above the ways of man. Remember what David said in 2 Samuel 7:19 as he recounted God's blessings, His mercy and grace and goodness to him? He says, is this yet? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God, but thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Lord, look what you've done in my life. Is this how man works? No. It is far different than how man works. As we saw in Isaiah 55, and this will be our closing. What did God say in Isaiah 55? He addresses sinners. Wicked, lost, guilty, helpless sinners. And He tells them what they need to do. He offers them free salvation. Salvation by grace. Salvation without cost. All they have to do is receive it. And then He says this in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. All right? Seek the Lord. Call upon Him. Acknowledge that you're wicked and you're unrighteous. Forsake your way and your thoughts. And then let him return unto the Lord. And what will be God's response? How will God receive him? And He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Remember the prodigal son? Boy, I've blown it. I've thrown away everything. I've sinned against my Father and against heaven. I have no hope of ever being reinstated to my former position as his son. I'll go and ask if I can only be as one of his hired servants. What's the father do? See him afar off, run to him, take him up in his arms, embrace him and kiss him and restore him to everything he had lost. Is this the way of man? No, it's God's way. And this is what we need to teach transgressors. What's he say in verse 8? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God has to open the eyes of sinners to the glory of His way of salvation in Jesus Christ. It's a divine revelation. It's something supernatural, heavenly, infinitely above man's thinking and man's dealings. And only God can make these things known to men and bring men to receive them in faith and enjoy the blessings of them. And that's what David had said he would do. Teach transgressors God's ways so that sinners might be converted unto Him, which is what we'll look at next time. We'll close in prayer.